All right. Good morning. Today is Wednesday, September 7th, 2011, and the City Council will come to order. Good morning, Carla.
Good morning.
Can you please call the roll?
Saltzman?
Here.
Leonard? Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Adams?
Here. A quorum is present. We shall proceed. I'm happy today to read the following proclamation that will also be presented on September 11th. Whereas September 11th, 2011 is recognized as a day of solemn commemoration of the events of September 11th, 2001, and a day to come together as a nation. And whereas nearly 3,000 innocent civilians were killed in the heinous attacks of September 11, 2001, and whereas countless fire departments, police departments, first responders, governmental officials, workers, emergency medical personnel, and volunteers responded immediately and heroically to these horrific events, and whereas the fire department of New York suffered 343 fatalities on September 11, 2001, the largest loss of life of any emergency response agency in the United States history, and whereas the Port Authority Police Department suffered 37 fatalities in the attacks, the largest loss of life of any police force in United States history on a single day, and whereas the New York Police Department suffered 23 fatalities as a result of the terrorist attacks, and whereas members of the Portland Police and Fire Bureaus valiantly traveled to New York to assist with the recovery efforts in that city, and whereas 10 years later, thousands of men and women in the United States Armed Forces remain in harm's way defending the United States against those who seek to threaten the United States, and whereas on the 10th anniversary of this tragic day, the thoughts of the people of the United States and the city are with all the victims of the events and their survivors of September 11th, 2001, and whereas the city of Portland and its residents proudly recognize the Portland citizens who traveled to New York to support in the recovery efforts after the September 11th attacks, including four Portland firefighters, Neil Martin, Ed Hall, Dwight Englert, and Wes Lukes, members of the Oregon State Crime Lab, and many others, and now therefore I, Sam Adams, mayor of the city of Portland, on behalf of the entire Portland City Council, do hereby proclaim September 11th, 2011, as day of September 11th, 2001 commemoration in Portland as a day of remembrance to those who were lost on September 11th, 2001, and to honor the heroic service, actions, and sacrifices of first responders, law enforcement personnel, state and local officials, volunteers, and countless others who aided the innocent victims of those attacks, and in doing so, bravely risked and often gave their own lives. We'll have a moment of silence. Thank you. I think Commissioner Saltzman, you also wanted to mention your event.
Well, thank you, Mayor, for that proclamation. And just for the sake, since we're on TV, we are reading the names of the victims of 9/11. Starting at 11:30 every day this week in front of City Hall on Southwest 4th, and the public is welcome.
Mayor, can I also just observe that on the 10th anniversary, a delegation of Oregonians will be headed back to New York. This is the Flight for Freedom that you allude to actually in the proclamation. And one of the cornerstones of the trip is going to be a concert for peace and unity at the Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York. The Portland Gay Men's Chorus will be, for the first time, performing with their counterparts in New York. And the site is especially important because the cathedral is the home of the New York Firefighters Memorial. And so I want to just once again thank Sho and Lo and DeZono and all of the citizens in Oregon who put together the Flight for Freedom 10 years ago and now are been invited back by Mayor Bloomberg to participate in the 10th anniversary.
So thank you all very much. All right. Carla, we'll begin with communications. Can you please read the title for 929?
Request of Michael Krupp to address council regarding issues of fairness, justice, and truth as it applies to administration of the municipality.
Hi, welcome back.
Thank you. Politics falls somewhere between the mildly amusing and disgusting. This is clearly evidenced by our city council. The usual path to political success requires one to swim long and hard upstream through the sewers until one's head emerges in the vicinity of City Hall. A quick shower, a change of dirty duds, and voila, a commissioner, a mayor. This is why I'm not surprised that Commissioner Leonard and you put $2 billion into the ground as tribute to your masters and their subterranean goals. It doesn't work. What was it really, commissioners? A big crack pipe? Or did you think the voters were smoking this stuff? And now with the IRS and other agencies breathing down your necks, Mr. Leonard has made the astute political decision to run like hell away from his career of many years. The mayor, a get-along, go-along kind of guy that everyone loves doing business with, apparently just remembered an appointment that will keep him out of office for his remaining lifetime. And if any of you three that remain imagine fulfilling your terms, you will find it most difficult. Better to salvage the shreds of your careers and go work for a crony while the possibility remains. Or you might adopt the under-the-desk, head-between-the-knees method taught to school children in case of atomic bomb attack. We now undertake a sea change in the way we govern ourselves. The incredible weight and audacity of our federal government is crushing the state, county, city people by attempting to reverse the tendency of life to reach higher and grow. Together, we all comprise the tree of government. The city is the root. We are the trunk. Counties, the branches, states, branchlets, and ideally the Fed is the foliage that results from a living, thriving government of the people by the people. It is seasonal and indicates the health of our tree of government. It seems that today we must reverse the direction of the sap's flow. Instead of pressing down from above, causing us all to suffer from high sap pressure, we will now move the strength of our sap upwards, redefining the biology of this dying tree, which does indeed grow from the ground up. We are told that mercenaries are a painful necessity at times, certainly not in City Hall. So to address the demise of the old guard and to begin raising money for the city treasury, I challenge Crown Prince Eric of Blackwater, a true scion of the god of war, to a fair fight. And I'll give him 3 months to research what that means. I call this exhibition fight Mom in Portlandia, Mercy on Mercenaries. Mother will allow nothing less. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony.
God bless America.
Can you please read the title for item number 930?
Request of Barbara Booth to address council regarding root barrier design.
Hi. Welcome to the City Council. Go ahead and have a seat.
I'll try to. Thank you for letting me be here today. And as a follow-up from my August the 2nd meeting is a list of the people who I have worked with in the city of Portland in regards to my root barrier design and the intrusive trees and bushes from the 4512 Northeast 26th address. And I attempted to send pictures, and my attorney has the pictures, and really I haven't had a chance to ask him about the pictures. You're welcome to see those pictures. I do not have cable internet. So I just have a problem sending a bunch of pictures over to City Hall without the consent of my attorney. And we have a problem because of the poor drainage next door. Doing a direct dig can collapse the whole fence because of the poor drainage, because there's so much humus and debris after 7 years of them not cleaning that it goes down and it's going into my foundation. And so I have a picture of a 4-foot black cottonwood tree that will grow up to 4 feet in diameter, and it's a few feet from my foundation on his side. And these are things that Charles Myrick, when he came out and met with my contractor, this is what he saw. And I was told by the arborist that it's much better to remove the trees because in building the root barrier design, it's going to kill them, and it's an insurance question. So that's why I'd like to invite Nick Fish and Mr. Saltzman over to see the situation. Now, before, and I've included I'm next to meth houses. And the U.S. Bank and my attorney has suggested to present this to you because my life is in danger. I fell because of the meth being in the air. And so I've got good ideas for job creation, but I'm really caught on this problem. And I'm really not trying to be caught on this problem, but it's taken 2 months to recuperate from the fall.
Well, thank you for your testimony. I know folks are working on it.
Well, we really do need surveillance, and I don't know, is this a TV up here? So my attorney had me put it in writing, the addresses.
Right, we have that in front of us.
And so,
thank you for your testimony.
And so, okay.
Mayor, I've asked the urban forester to look into this. When Ms. Booth was here the last time, I made the introduction, And we will share this information with them, Ms. Booth, and ask them to follow up.
So the urban forester?
Yes.
And so do you have a card, Mr. Fish?
I can talk to you after you're finished testifying. I can take you to my office and give you my card.
Okay. And I'd like to work directly with you, Mr. Saltzman, if I could.
Well, we're working with – you've talked to Matt in my office, and so we're aware of your situation.
So feel free to follow Commissioner Fish. And
if you could just wait for 1 second. I think I'm next up. And then I'll have someone from my office come out with a card, give that to you, and then we'll follow up, Mayor.
Will you speak directly with me?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Can you please read the title for communications item number 931?
Request of Mark Morehouse to address council regarding busking and Saturday market security.
Morehouse?
He notified us that he had to cancel. He'll be meeting individually with your offices.
All right. Does anyone wish to pull any items from the consent agenda?
941, please.
Anybody else? All right, Carla, can you please call the vote on the consent agenda?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye.
Mayor has asked me to take over as president of the council. That brings us to the regular agenda. Please read the title for item 948.
Terminate tax exemptions for properties under the single-family new construction and residential rehabilitation, transit-oriented development, and new multi-unit housing limited tax programs.
Thank you. Commissioner Fish.
This is the only item on a regular agenda. This must be something of a record. And Andrea Mathiasen and her team are here today to walk us through what is a regular occurrence at council as part of our obligation to monitor limited tax abatements in our community. We get reports relating to those exemptions that no longer qualify, and the Portland Housing Bureau seeks authority to take appropriate action. Andrea, would you tee it up for us?
Sure. Good morning, commissioners. As the resolution that you've seen states, we're here today to terminate 56 tax exemptions. 38 of those are single family, 15 of those are multifamily, and 3 of those are nonprofit. These are tax exemptions that are administered on behalf of the city by the Portland Housing Bureau with the objective of increasing affordable housing in the community. These tax exemptions are activated by builders as an incentive to construct affordable housing and then passed on to the qualified home buyers as a way to increase the affordability of those units. And as part of the program implementation, the Bureau conducts regular monitoring and auditing of the individuals and the homeowners that are in those units to ensure ongoing compliance with program requirements, primarily that those units remain owner-occupied and that the home buyers who move into those units income qualify. And so as part of that exercise, we have identified, as I said, 56 units that are out of compliance with program requirements. Most of those are indicated as not being owner-occupied. Some of them have transitioned ownership, and the new buyers do not qualify in terms of income, and so those are being terminated. So the annual value for each unit of that terminated tax exemption is approximately $1,600, and so the annual value for all 56 terminations that we're proposing is about $85,000. And these are 10-year tax exemptions. And so of those 56 terminations we're proposing, they're in various stages of their 10-year tax exemption.
Andrea, would you just briefly describe the process we go through to give notice to the affected property owner and any appeal opportunities they have under our process?
Sure. So the Bureau contacts each household whose exemption that we're proposing to terminate. They get a letter from the city asking them for documentation, letting them know that our records are indicating a possible compliance problem. So they're given then a period of time to provide that. If we don't hear back from them or if the documentation is not satisfactory, then they're provided with a certified mail letter indicating our intent to terminate the tax exemption. Then they're also given an opportunity to appeal that proposed termination directly to PHB in our offices. And so we have handled a handful of those appeals last week prior to filing the resolution, but there may be individuals who are present today that we may want to confirm that.
Madam President, could we just inquire if anyone is here for the purpose of weighing in on an appeal? Anyone in the, any member of the public is here?
We can call. Do you want to do public testimony now?
No, I don't believe we'll have any testimony, but sometimes people will come to a public meeting. We've in the past had people just come, and I don't believe anyone is here, but if we could just simply, if you could inquire if anyone is here today seeking to challenge a designation.
Is there anyone here who is seeking to appeal a proposed termination?
And we were not notified that anyone would be coming, but just in case someone came.
Thank you.
So that's our presentation.
That's it. Questions from council?
Well, I just noticed one of the columns says no ACQ response. What is ACQ?
Right. That is the application to receive the tax exemption that's required on the part of a buyer when a property transitions ownership. And so we may grant an exemption to one household. They sell it. The subsequent household is required to submit an application, and they do not always do that.
Thank you very much. Does anyone want to testify on this item? Pass it back to the mayor.
All right.
I move the resolution, Mayor.
There's no need to move. We will now, can you please call the vote on resolution item number 948?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you for your diligence following up on this, and also want to mention thanks to Margaret Van Vliet for her strong leadership of the Bureau, and I know that there'll be other strong leaders coming up to help there afterwards. Aye.
Fish?
Well, Andrea, I want to thank you and your team for your outstanding work in monitoring and administering the limited tax abatement programs. As my colleagues know, this is a function that the Portland Housing Bureau has assumed as part of the transfer of housing responsibilities from the Portland Development Commission. One of the strong messages we've received over the years from this council is that we need to be vigilant in making sure that only people who qualify receive the benefit of this 10-year abatement. So we do robust oversight during those 10 years, and coming to us today, you are identifying those property owners who are no longer eligible for a variety of reasons for the tax abatement. I believe that it is actions like this that further bolster public confidence in these programs, which, after all, are designed to create opportunities for people who otherwise wouldn't have them to be homeowners. But we have targeted, we have specific rules that apply, and when someone's out of compliance, we have to take this, albeit difficult, action. So thank you for your good work. Aye.
Adams.
Great work. Thank you, Commissioner Fish, for your leadership. Thanks to staff for your follow-through. Aye. So approved. We are in recess.
Thank you.
What?
Thank you both.
I pulled 941.
Oh, okay. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance, item number 941?
Create a new non-represented classification of training and development manager and establish a compensation rate for this classification.
David Reese from the Bureau of Human Resources.
Before you start, David.
Yes.
Since Commissioner Fish pulled it, Fritz pulled it, I'd like her to explain why she pulled it so that we focus your testimony on those issues.
Thank you, Mayor. We had a wonderful discussion last week about the Office of Equity and the potential staffing and what some of the functions that office might do. So I wanted to give you the opportunity to explain what this position is, what it will do, and how it will be both different from and complement the future work of the Equity Office.
Great. David Reese from the Bureau of Human Resources. Joining me today is Anna Canwitt, who would respond to most of those questions. What this ordinance does is create a new classification of training and development manager. We have not had a professional in that role for approximately the last 10 years. There is a cost to creating this classification. We are reclassifying a current classification. The difference in terms of the rates paid, the maximum rates paid to the classifications in that position is an increased cost of about $15,000, but all costs will be paid out of current budget. Anna, do you want to talk about the position and how it will be used?
Anna Canwitt, Bureau of Human Resources. We are creating this position to reinstitute a centralized training program. Every year when Yvonne Decker and I meet with Bureau directors, they have asked us to put back within the Bureau of Human Resources a centralized training program, which we've not had for some time. So this position would basically lead the development of that program, would be creating various trainings in response to consultations with the bureaus in terms of their needs. Do not see this. I think there would be a obviously collaborative partnership with Office of Equity in terms of trainings that that office may see as necessary. Right now, as you know, Human Resources is responsible for providing the cultural competency trainings to managers and supervisors and employees, and also training on Rule 2.2, the rule that prohibits discrimination, harassment, retaliation based on a person's protected class. We would see our offices continuing to do that training, but that is not the reason for creating this managerial position. It really is to, again, create a program to provide trainings to employees in a way that we think it'd be cost-effective and targeted in terms of what the bureaus are looking for.
What kinds of trainings? Could you give me an example?
Well, the some of the things that we have been asked to do, some we have started, manager and supervisory trainings, targeted training on investigations, discipline, but we are looking to creating more webinars on various competency trainings that would be provided to the bureaus, anywhere from some of the things, how you coach, how you do performance evaluations, different things like that, career development training for employees to provide opportunities for them to move up in the organization or move to different jobs. So the plan is, and one of the reasons we have this as an emergency is we want to open this recruitment next week so that we could get a person on board within the next couple of months, and then we would be spending basically until the beginning of the fiscal year working with the bureaus to determine, you know, what are the various trainings they would like to see us develop and offer. So so at this point it is somewhat of a work in progress.
And will it be an internal recruitment or open to the general public?
It'll be open.
I just had one question that may be related, but it's come to my attention that we don't really have a consistent tuition reimbursement program across the city. That sort of each bureau does its own thing. Is there a possibility that we could have
a
consistent tuition reimbursement policy? And would that be something this person would look into, or is that your job?
no, we'll give it to
or
this
Davis,
person.
Or Davis.
No, we actually, Commissioner, have looked at that because that, again, about the same time, you know, due to budget cuts that we eliminated our centralized program, a citywide tuition reimbursement program was also eliminated. So you're right, it kind of is depends on the bureau, and you get a little bit of a have and have not. So that is one of the things that we'll be looking at as well, is whether or not that is something that would be well received, and then obviously that would be something that would come back to council. Because
when was it eliminated? So we had a citywide
we
tuition
did,
reimbursement policy.
We did about 10.
At least.
Yeah, at least 10 years ago. I think it was right before I came to the Bureau of Human Resources, and that's been actually almost 11 years now. So it's been quite some time.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone wish to testify on this matter? Carla, can you please call the roll?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Well, thank you for the explanation. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. All right. Now we're in recess till 2 o'clock.
Oh. Yeah, can I talk to you real quick? Mm-hmm.
That was Beth and Ambushy.
Well, that was Beth out there?
Yeah.
What was she at?